We're going to have Stuart and Jill come up and kind of wrap up their time with us, and Jill's going to come first, yeah, I think.
Okay, kids, I'm Nana Jill, and Papa Stu is coming after me, okay? Who am I? Nana Jill, good, and Papa Stu is coming after me, and we've been talking all week to your mums and dads and all the grown-up people. But I know that you know a story in the Bible that's often told in camp every time you come, and that's the feeding of the 5,000. And maybe you haven't had it this time, but it's when Jesus had all these people coming and crowding around him, thousands of people, and they'd heard Jesus was going to be by the side of a lake, just the sort of place that you'd go and have a picnic, but they forgot to take their picnic. And they just wanted to hear Jesus speak. And so they came from all the villages. And here's Jesus. And they sat there and listened to him talk about God. How you can know him. And who he was. He said he'd come from God. He was God's son. And then they really realized they'd been there all day. They couldn't stop listening to Jesus. And they'd forgotten their lunch. Oh. And Jesus said, has anybody got anything to eat? And there was one little boy, do you remember? And he'd brought his lunch. And that's the rest of the story. Let me read you about that. Sitting actually on the hill with a Holy Land tour, about 100 people we had, we came to Galilee, and I was sitting just looking at that scene and trying to go back and think what it must have been like. Sitting on a hill overlooking the Sea of Galilee, my mind flew to the feeding of the 5,000 and, of course, the boy. It was like reading the familiar story in Technicolor, and as my habit was, I caught the picture in my own fashion. Here is a boy, a small boy, an all boy. He's off to hear Jesus preach and maybe see a miracle. Instead, he gets to be a miracle. My, what a lot of people, thought the boy, wriggling his way to the center of the crowd so he could see. And then he heard the voice. At first it sounded like a waterfall. No, more like a wind, yes, like a wind in the tops of the trees. And so he looked at the top of the trees, but they were still as could be. And yet the sound of the voice sounded as if the wind blew. The words of the voice spoke were very simple, so very simple. But he remembered his father saying that the truth of God is simple, so that all may understand. The high, the low, the clever, and those that lack knowledge. The old, the young, yes, even the young, like a boy, a small boy, an all boy. The boy's father was right, because something simple doesn't mean it's not simply profound. The wonderful day passed, and the boy was hungry, and it was way, way past lunch. But no one had wanted Jesus to stop teaching the wonderful words of God in order to eat until now. And suddenly, everyone was sitting down in little groups, and a man, quite rough and ready, appeared as the small boy was unpacking the lunch his mother had sent with him. "What do you have there, boy?" the man asked then. "Come with me." And so the boy did. And now he could see the voice. And Jesus, whose voice it was, repeated the man's question. "What do you have there, boy?" "Oh my," thought the boy. "I've got a hunch he wants my lunch." The boy had the strangest idea that Jesus hadn't needed to ask, "What do you have there, boy?" that question. That he knew all about the loaves and the fish already, and that he'd even counted them. That Jesus of Nazareth, a poor man who'd come to make many rich, a meek man who'd come to make many strong, knew exactly all about everything, which of course he did. The God-man, Jesus, who'd come to save the world, smiled. And just for a moment, the world stopped for a child. And the small boy, the all boy, gave Jesus everything he had in his hands. Not one fish and a couple of loaves like we do. Not half a loaf. Not leftovers. He didn't share his lunch with Jesus. He gave his lunch to Jesus. Yes, he gave it all. What a wonderful word is all. It's really about giving everything to Jesus. Your life. Serving him, loving him, telling your friends about him. Not just a little bit when you're at camp. Not just being religious when you go to church. But you say to Jesus Christ, if you died for me, the least I can do is give my life to you. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Don't give him little bits of your life. Give him everything. Let's say a little prayer together. You join me in this prayer. Just shut your eyes. Think about what I've said. Picture Jesus and the little boy giving him everything he had. Lord, you have counted out my loaves and fish. You know the resources you've entrusted to me. If I am to be useful to you and others, you need all. Then, blessed and broken, you can give me to the multitude of need. I am in your hands. Help yourself, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Jill. I was very interested to hear about this word getaway, and particularly the way it was spelt on the screens. It was spelled G-E-D-E-W. I guess that's a different language from the one I speak. I think it's called American, and I speak English. But I am bilingual, which means I can speak both languages, and I understand both languages. But what exactly is this getaway idea? Well, I think it's the idea is, let's get away from all this stuff that we have to do. Let's get away from school. Oh, isn't that great? I had an ambition when I was in school, and I achieved my ambition by the time I was 17. That does not mean I was a genius. It just means I didn't have much ambition. But my ambition was to leave school. Get away. That's what I wanted. As far as the family is concerned, I think for the adults, getting away from the pressure of work, getting away from the boss, getting away from the quota that has to be met, getting away from the wages that have to be paid, just to get away. And it is such a relief. Another word for a getaway is a vacation. But they didn't call them vacations in the old days. They used to call them holidays. And holidays became vacations. But they didn't always call them holidays. Before they called them holidays, they called them holy days. And holy days were something that God organized for people. He knew they needed, well, he didn't say they needed to get away, and he didn't say they needed a holiday. What God said was they needed a holy day. And the great thing about a holy day was it was a family time. And the great thing about this family time was that they got to do a journey together. And then when the people of Israel, they had to make a journey up to Jerusalem. And when they got up to Jerusalem, they had to attend some things that reminded them about God. Now, that wasn't all that they did. You say, that wouldn't be much of a holiday. Well, it wasn't a holiday. It was a holy day. But God understood that people need relaxation. They need a change. They need to get away from the pressure. They need to get away from all the ordinary things they keep on doing. They need to get away from the same old, same old, same old, same old. And so a holy day was a time when they took time to learn about God and then to be family and then to have fun. That was a holy day. Now, when we change from holy days to holidays, the God bit dropped out a little bit. Now, there was still a lot of value in these things, but there was something missing. And then when we change from holiday to vacation, well, the thing about a holiday was they still had the idea of putting something of value into the week so that you'd go back refreshed. But when they moved from holiday to vacation, it wasn't a matter of putting anything in. It was just a matter of vacating. Just letting go, just letting it all down. Now, how would you describe Fort Wilderness? Is it a getaway? Or is it a vacation? Or is it a holiday? Or is it a holiday? Well, I'm inclined to think that they haven't forgotten the old idea of holiday. They believe you should have a good holiday. They want you to do more than vacate, and they're not sure what you're trying to get away from, but they want to send you back to what you got away from, the getaway, with a takeaway. So don't just think getaway, think takeaway. All right, what did I hear? What did I learn? What did I see? What did I experience? And Paul, I've been talking about the Apostle Paul and the letter he wrote to the Philippians. In that letter, he says, whatever you've seen and heard and learned from me, just do it. And the God of peace will be with you. So here's a little suggestion for you. Think of one important thing that is a takeaway from this getaway. It wasn't just a getaway, it was a vacation. But it wasn't just a vacation, it was a holiday. But it wasn't just a holiday, it was a holy day. Getaway, takeaway. And I will give you a little help on figuring out what that takeaway is going to be. Whenever you listen to a talk, whether it's the children's talk, whether it's the adult, you always ask a question about the person who's talking to you. And the question is, what? What is she talking about? What is he talking about? What is all this stuff about? You need to be able to answer that question. What? The second question you ask is, so what? So what? Oh, so all this information you give me, so what? What possible difference does it mean to me? And then you have to think. You have to think, oh, all this information they're giving me has a purpose in my life now. It doesn't matter how young I am. It doesn't matter how old I am. What God is saying to me, the what, has a so what. It has an application. So I ask the question, what, so what? And then, of course, it's time to get away. And we take away with one gate takeaway. And the takeaway is, now what? Now what? So I understand the what, and I've understood the so what. Now I say to myself, this one thing I'll do. As I get away, this is my takeaway. This is what I'm going to do. And I promise you something. It will have been a whole lot more than a getaway. It will have been better than a vacation. It will be richer than a holiday. In a very real sense, it will have been a holy day. Thanks for listening. God bless you.